Let me say this. We're thankful that you're here today. That's no small thing either. If you're here first time, maybe never been to this ministry before, first time, we don't do this to single anybody out, embarrass anybody. But we won't have to stand. We used to do that. Okay. I get that. But if you're here for the first time, could you just lift your hand? We want to celebrate you today. All right, let's give our new friends. Yes, thank you for being here today. And I look back there and I see RL. He's a brand new guy. He just gave his life to Jesus. Getting baptized daily in the New Testament church, so should we. I want to say this as he comes and continues this powerful word that I know that God dropped in his spirit about Palm Sunday. Miss Kathy and I was talking about that coming here. We often things in certain seasons are overshadowed by other what we think are greater things. And the significance of resurrection and you know, the crucifixion, of course, first, and resurrection is so powerful. They're just events that nothing ever was like that. But let's not underplay the significance of Palm Sunday. And as years, as a mainline denominational preacher, and churches years ago, it's not that we didn't know what it was. It's not that we didn't even say what it was or what was important. But it was just sort of like the event before the big event. Really, Palm Sunday was a huge event. And so we've got to really wrap our hearts around that because there's so many layers of powerful things in this significant day as we celebrate our King today.
Yes.
Your King is worthy of praise and celebration. Amen? He's worthy of that. And this week, which was celebration, is called the Passion Week. Launches us into the Passion Week. We're going to be doing things here. I know Prison Ministry is Friday night. But I'm going to try to listen in. We're going to try to do a crosswalk sometime later on the week, okay? We are going to do the Lord's Table sometime this week, and we'll be letting you know that. Just trying to work those things out. These things are all so powerful. And we thank you. Wrap your heart around what God's going to say through his word this morning about that, okay? Amen. Let's give Jesus one more praise.
Hallelujah. Next week is Easter. The kids are going to put on some dramas. And the adults are going to put on some dramas. Invite people. In some places, Easter is kind of like something to get through because it's a big to-do sometimes, like people. And here, we come expecting many salvations on Easter. So bring people. Bring people. Say, hey, come see the kiddos. Come see the adult drama. It's going to be all those going to be powerful. Dad's going to bring a powerful word unless Holy Spirit blows up something else. And I believe lives will be changed. I really do believe what I said to those kiddos. I believe people will be saved here next Sunday. But here, you got to be the donkeys. You got to bring the Jesus. You got to bring the people here. So you, right? I mean, they can get saved out there too. I'm not saying that. But I think there's a powerful thing that's going to happen here next Sunday. You don't want to miss it, okay? I'm going to get Val to do it. And thank you, Steve, that nobody named that donkey Val. Because it was a better joke for Jimmy and Will than if I'd have been put in that spot. And Lord knows I'm not going to get whooped on Sunday, hopefully. I'm going to have Al do a quick prayer over this word and tell them about Monday night real quick.
Remember, tomorrow night is Refuge Recovery. We're just blowing up. Somebody coming. Praise you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. I told her a long time ago she's a Peter. And what I mean by that is she's very passionate. Yeah. Even though a lot of y'all think she's quiet, she's a firecracker. She's hard to manage sometimes. Don't mess with her popcorn, and definitely don't try to talk her out of it. If you try to talk her out of a roast beef slider, you're going to get whooped. But God uses that same passion at times. She's learning how to let God, like Peter, temper that some. But passionate people are the only people that ever change the world, I promise you. So I'm thankful for my wife this morning. More so today than yesterday morning. Another story. Just kidding. Palm Sunday is a big deal. And, you know, I preached messages before about how Palm Sunday probably disappointed Jesus to see the people. But God is really changing my... God is really working. I mean, I don't know about you, but I evolve. I mean, I let the Word evolve me. I didn't know everything the day I accepted Jesus. And I didn't know everything the day I preached my first message. I don't know everything now. And I'm constantly seeking the Scriptures and trying to grow and learn. And if you're in here and you stop learning or growing, then you need to probably bump an altar and say, God, please examine my heart because it's hard. And so God is teaching me things. He's teaching me things. And that's an awesome thing, because if he ever stops, what would I ever think about? So I started thinking about Palm Sunday this year. It's been in my heart a lot. And I think I missed it over the years, some things about Palm Sunday. I mean, I've preached many messages about the donkey, giving your donkey, and I've preached about the fickleness of the crowd. But I think I missed something big, and I think it took this year. This move of God that's kind of kicking off right now, that's really happening. And if you don't believe it's happening, there's a move of God happening. There's a move of God happening here. There's a move of God happening out there. There's a move of God happening. Something's blowing up. Something's changing. And if you don't perceive that, maybe you're outside of the move and need to jump inside, because something is shaking on this planet. Something is happening on this planet. And because all that's going on, God used all this to have me re-examine Palm Sunday. And say, you know what? I missed some of it. And that's the thing about the Bible. There's so many layers, right? You can read the same scripture when you're 50 that you did when you're 20, and it might bounce different. It's going to do different stuff, right? I mean, don't you see that all the time? So I'm telling y'all that to eat some humble pie and tell you, I don't know everything, and I hope you don't think I think that, and I'm growing. And I'm going to tell you something that Jesus showed me about Palm Sunday. Holy Spirit revealed me about Palm Sunday through the Word. And if you already knew that, then you're just smarter than me. That's okay. But we can all still go together with it. So we're going to start with Matthew. Palm Sunday is in all four Gospels. That's a big deal, because not every story is in all four Gospels. That means it was important enough that all four people who witnessed and wrote down the Gospel said, this is a big deal, we're putting it in there. It's in all four Gospels. And I want to start with the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew 21. And I promise you, I know I've said this before, and you all think I'm a liar, and I have lied at times, but I really don't think this is going to be a long sermon, so please stay put. Don't think you can take 14 bathroom breaks and he'll just be on his first closing. We're going to be done pretty quick. And what I wouldn't mind doing at the end, just depending on how it goes, I can't promise. But unless something's happening here that's different, we might do some worship and leave with some Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. So the palm leaves should still be around. In fact, don't go leave and change, but it would have been cool. Actually, I didn't tell anybody this just now, but to even keep her costumes on, they're cool. But we don't need those, so don't leave right now. If you got one on, that's fine. But Matthew 21. And we won't be here long. 21 and verse 1. I'm reading out of Passion today. I'm sorry. I don't always preach on anything. Well, not always. But there are, you know, it doesn't matter. All right, here we go. Now as they were approaching Jerusalem, they arrived at the place of the stables near the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of his disciples ahead, saying, as soon as you enter the village, you will find a donkey tethered along with her young colt. Unite them both and bring them to me. And if anyone stops you and asks, what are you doing? Just tell them the Lord of all needs them, and he will let you take him then. All this happened to fulfill the prophecy. Tell Zion's daughter, look, your king arrives. He's coming to you full of gentleness, sitting on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. So the two disciples went ahead as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and her colt to him and placed their cloaks and prayer shawls on the colt. And Jesus rode on it. Then an exceptionally large crowd gathered and carpeted the road before him with their cloaks and prayer shawls. Others cut down branches from trees and spread them in his path. Jesus rode in the center of the procession, crowds going before him and crowds coming behind him, and they all shouted! Pause. Pause. I'm going to finish the scripture. I'm not changing the scripture. Take pause. Well, thank you. There's a lot of people, and I'm not criticizing. You can worship God in so many ways, but some people are offended by volume.
Yep.
When you're in the presence of God, the Word consistently says, people shouted.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying you go to hell if you don't shout. But I'm saying don't judge others that shout, because it's all throughout the gospel of Jesus and the Bible. So don't tear down other people. If you want to be quiet, that's up to you. But don't find yourself judging other people because of their volume. And don't be intimidated because of volume. It's a response to the awesomeness of Jesus, okay? So I'm not trying to appear to be loud on purpose or scare anybody or be crazy. But I'm passionate because my King is in this building. And what other response would I have? All right, so unpause. Let's go back to the scripture. Come on, Steve. So as I don't confuse you, I'm going to go back and start in verse 9 again. Jesus rode to the center of the procession, crowds going before him and crowds coming behind him. And they all shouted, bring the victory, Lord, Son of David. He comes with the blessings of being sent from the Lord Yahweh. We celebrate with praises to God in the highest. And as Jesus entered Jerusalem, the people went wild! They went wild with excitement, and the entire city was thrown into an uproar. Some asked, who is this man? And the crowd shouted back, this is Jesus! He's the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. You may be seated. I mean, the Word of God, I just wonder what Jesus thinks when he remembers what it was like to ride into town and the whole town went nuts. It says they were thrown in uproar. It says people went wild. Wild! I've heard people say, man, that church up there is wild. Praise God, just like the book of Matthew said. Praise, baby! I just wonder what, and then we're all different, and I've done different things, and I worship Jesus different. Well, there's times in here I just want to be quiet and praise Him in my own. We're all people. We change and we're different. But I wonder if there's times when Jesus looks up there and says, they know I'm not dead, don't they?
Come on.
Because I'm here. When two or more gather in my name, I'm here. When I was here 2,000 years ago, the town went nuts. People went wild. People went crazy. Now I'm here and people looking like they buried their mama this morning. I just wonder what he thinks. Why some people don't go wild? I don't know. Anyway. And there's time and place for everything. I know that. But the Bible says this scene was a wild scene. It was a loud scene. And I want to set the stage for this. There's a reason for that. There's a couple reasons for that. But one, you've got to understand this whole scene right now, culminating in Palm Sunday, is a pressure cooker. What are those pots you like? It's the pot.
Yeah.
You open that steamer, poosh, you know what I'm saying? Anybody got an Instant Pot in here? You need an Instant Pot. You can take a frozen something and you can have it cooked in like 30 minutes. It's an amazing thing. Pressure cooker. Where there's intense pressure on that thing and that cooks it fast. This was a pressure cooker 2,000 years ago. What I mean by that is there was a lot of things colliding. The Jewish people weren't inhabited by a foreign government. They were quasi-enslaved. They weren't free. The soldiers walked through town. They took their women when they wanted to take their women. They couldn't do nothing about it. And I don't mean to sound sexist, but that's how it was at that time. That if you had something they wanted, they took it. They wanted your donkey, they took it. They wanted your money, they took it. They called you a dog. They called you less than. They said you weren't worthy. You're ignorant. You have an ignorant religion. We are enlightened. We are wrong. We know things. We build roads. We build aqueducts. We have running water. And you are a bunch of ignorant people. And they treated those people that way. And they only treated those people, they came in and inhabited their land. So it'd be like if a foreign nation just took over wives in Virginia and in this country, and there were soldiers all through the streets. And anytime you walk through the thing, you had to keep your eyes down. They could harass you and they could do things to you. You couldn't do a thing about it. If you got to the store back without getting killed, you thought that was a good day.
Yeah.
Different times. So there's a lot of pressure. And then you got the second fact is that the church at the time, the religious establishment at the time, really wasn't a church because that hadn't happened yet, but there was a temple, there was a group of God's followers, and they... They also had so many rules, and they looked down upon common people. So that the common people, people like me and you, really had it coming against them from all directions. The Jewish leaders said, you guys are beneath us. You don't keep the law, you're unclean, you go out and fish, and you break out the law, your hands are dirty, and Your hooligans and your less thans and your drunkards and you're a bunch of common people. You guys are unholy, and half of you're sick and unclean, and that means God doesn't like you very much. And God has cursed you, and because God curses you, we curse you. We don't want nothing to do with you. So nobody wanted anything to do with the regular people. The Romans didn't like them. And the people they thought represented their God didn't care for them either. Had no use for them. Had no use for regular people like me and you. Weren't good enough. And so it's a pressure cooker. It's been 400 years since any fresh revelation of God, any prophets had come. And the temple, they're sitting there and they're blaming the people and they're making alliances with the government, and it's just this big mess. And all of a sudden, this guy comes on the scene named Jesus. And he does something very, very radical. He cares about you and me. He left the temple. He came to the people. He said, you matter. You matter to me. And he bypassed those people who, like Rome and the temple, who wanted to have control of everything, and that was kind of... See, this giant pressure cooker. Now, at this time, Jesus had played hard to get. And I don't mean literally, what I mean by this. He knew that if he came out too strong, that's why he could do miracles and tell... And don't tell anybody. Of course, they didn't do a great job of it. But he would come to people and say, I'm going to heal you, but don't tell anybody. Here's why. Because he knew once the thing blew up, there's no putting it back. So he was trying to let this thing build and get as much done and teach as much and show as much and demonstrate as much and do what he was put to do before it all blew up. Because if it blows up, he's going on the cross. And he came to go on the cross, but he had some stuff to do before he went on the cross. So this thing's building. So now Jesus is one of man because they say there's this cat. And he's going around, he's doing stuff like healing people on the wrong day. And he's doing this weird stuff like wearing hats in church or preaching out a translation that is a different translation or whatever they're saying. They say he did great things, but he did it the wrong way. And so he was a wanted man. All this is building. You feel the pressure. All this is building. It's building. It's building. And Jesus is hiding out. And even God even was making him stealth. There was one time they were trying to kill him. And God made him invisible so he could slip out. It's like Marvel hero stuff, right? It's real.
Yeah.
And so all this is happening. And we get to Holy Week, Passover Week, which is like Super Bowl Sunday week on steroids. I mean, the whole world, religious world, the whole Jewish world had gathered in Jerusalem. It was the center. Every Jew from all over the world would pilgrim for this Holy Week and show up. And the Romans are on edge because they say, all right, we got to keep these people beat down. And if they do a revolt, then we got a mess on our hands. Everybody knows they don't want to revolt. So you got the Romans on guard. They're up top. They're pressured. They're just looking for somebody to beat down because they don't want a revolution. They didn't want a revolution! You want the last thing the devil wants on this planet right now in your life? He don't want a revolution! He wants you to stay just as you are! He don't want this thing to blow up! So the Romans wanted to keep order. They're nervous and they're uptight. Then the Jewish leaders are nervous and uptight because they're looking for this guy named Jesus. If he shows up, we got trouble. We want to take him out if he shows up. So they're all looking for him. And Rome's looking for him. And Jesus had been slipping in and out. And hiding and then seeking, coming into town and healing people and coming out of town. And all of a sudden, when the whole world's watching, he rolls into town and says, are you looking for somebody? Were you looking for somebody? I am he. If you're looking for the Messiah, here I am on the back of a donkey. I ain't hiding no more. I ain't hiding no more. I ain't run. I ain't hide. I'm here. And my people, you shall not shut them up. They shall shout my name. They will go wild in the streets. Is a dirty people like me. An unholy person. I don't even think I care to call out that movie Almost Holy, that preacher that beat up people when they needed it. I'm not even that close to holy. An unholy people. But I'm trying, guys, I'm trying. Rejected by God. A forgotten people. A hippie people. A people without a voice. A people that have been let down. A people that have been shut out. A people that nobody seemed to care about. A people that have been forgotten about. A people that didn't seem to have access. All of a sudden that day, they joined a procession with Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, Son of the Living God. And on the back of a donkey stand, they found hope. They found something on the back of a donkey. A lot of those people that live in Jerusalem, they'd heard about Lazarus. They'd heard about miracles. They'd heard there was one that hung out with people like them, broke bread with people like them, and it's exciting to them. But that day on Palm Sunday, hope rode into town. And hope changes everything.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't stop in town that day and get out a blackboard and say, this is what the next 30 years is going to look like. Here's your 30-year plan. Here's your 20-year plan. Here's your 10-year plan. Here's your 6-month plan. He just showed up and started something called hope inside their lives. And you know what hope sometimes is like for a people that's never had hope? There's people in this room that have struggled with hope in your life because it was beat out of you. Now, when you're a baby, you're born with hope.
You're born with it. You're optimistic, not by nature, I think. I think we have a sinful nature. But I think little kids, they have bright eyes and they just think whatever. You know, they go sit on Santa Claus' lap, they think they're going to get that thing. Because they got hope. And I just wonder if we still had hope if Sandy wouldn't bring me something every now and again, Sandy. Let's try. But hope gets beat out of us in life sometimes. But here's what hope can do to you and me. When you really latch on to hope, it can be like a champagne bottle. Now, some of y'all never opened a champagne bottle. But some of you shook up a Coke and played a prank on somebody before and handed it to them. And it's pretty much the same thing. Sometimes what hope is, when you open it up and you let that thing out of the bottle, you can't put it back in the bottle. You can try, but you can't put it back in the bottle. Hope is a crazy thing.
That's what people are doing today, trying to put it back in the bottle.
So hope broke into town on Palm Sunday. Hope broke into town on Palm Sunday. And when hope broke into town, you got to get a hold of this. You got to get a hold of this. Because what I was reading to you was all these words in the Gospel of Matthew to describe something. Go back and just flash it up if you want to at times. I was reading all these words that describe something. And many of us missed it. It was describing a sound. It was wild. It was loud. They shouted. They shouted back. Hope released a sound on the earth from a people that had lost their voice. Hope released a sound on the planet from to a people who had lost their voice. And that sound resonated, and that sound announced Jesus as King, and that sound took him into the streets of Jerusalem, and that sound took him to the cross. It was the sound of the broken. It was the sound of the hurting. It was the sound of the left out. But it was the sound of the people who were ready to lay it out. Something woke up in a people that had lost their sound, their voice, and their sound was released, and it was described here in the gospel. I want to read the gospel of Luke. Stay with me. We're going to be quick. Try not to be distracted. Won't be long. Luke 19. We're going to just read three or four verses from Palm Sunday. Luke 19. I'm going to go to verse 37. Here's what it says. As soon as he got to the bottom of the Mount Olives, the crowds of his followers shouted with a loud outburst of ecstatic joy over all the mighty wonders of power they had witnessed. They shouted over and over, highest praises to the God, the one who comes as King in the name of the Lord. Heaven's peace and glory from the highest realm now comes to us. Somehow all these gospels are just describing this sound. This sound must have impressed them. They keep emphasizing this sound they're describing. I believe because the Word of God says so, that a sound was released on the planet that day. A sound that had never been heard before. It's a sound we've got to get a hold of.
Because all the fight shout. Don't get on the cloud with me. You don't like it, don't get on the same
But there was something released that day that the gospel writers keep describing this sound over and over. I mean, they must have not heard something like this before. Why would they keep emphasizing this as something new? I mean, this is crazy. And so, then read verse 19. But, say but. It's my bud. No, it's not your bud. I'm saying I'm adding the bud. Here we go. Verse 39. Verse 39. I can't see.
Some Jewish religious leaders who stood off in the procession said to Jesus, "Teacher, you must order your followers at once to stop saying these things." Jesus, shut those people up. You know why the Jewish leaders and religion today and the devil today wants to shut those people up? Because they're scared of their voice. There's a group of people the devil wants to keep quiet.
Shut your praise up.
Because he's scared what happens when you open your mouth. The religious leader says, "Keep them quiet, Jesus. We don't like this. Keep it quiet. You all get together in your little box and play your little games, but don't let other people out there hear it."
Yeah, we have the police call on us sometimes about that.
Quiet. That's what they really said. The people were going nuts. The town was wild. Verse. I tell you one thing, Regan is on the spot always. He always knows the next verse. I love him. You're right. And Jesus responds to him. Because here's what you've got to get a hold of. The sound that you're meant to release isn't really your sound. Everything they were screaming and yelling with passion was about Jesus. The sound that they were releasing had been put deep inside them by Jesus. And so how he responded to them, go to the next verse, like, so I don't have to jump over here. Jesus responded as, with the Regan translation, "Listen to me. If my followers were silenced, the very stones would break forth with praise. If this generation doesn't praise out to Jesus, the earth will cry out." And you know why the earth will cry out? Because it's not your sound to begin with. Jesus put it in there. And it's going to resonate. It's going to sound. There's going to be a sound. And whether you let it out of you or not, that's up to you. But there's a sound coming. And if you don't release your sound, the earth will release your sound. The rocks will cry out with the sound. Because there's a sound coming that you or I ain't going to stop. The religious leaders ain't going to stop. The devil can't stop. The enemy doesn't like the sound in the schools right now. The enemy don't like the sound in the shelters right now. The enemy don't like the sound in the prisons right now. The enemy don't like the sound in the streets right now. The enemy don't like the sound on Monday night recovery right now. The enemy don't like the sound. They don't like the sound in the rehab centers and all these other places, because baby, you're going out of business. Because I'm here to tell you that there's a sound coming out. There's change in things. There's a sound coming out. There's change in things. There's a move. And the sound, I don't know if you can't get it or not. Maybe you can. I hope you can if you're in this room. It's been intensifying. It's been building. Week after week, it's building. The sound of a people. A generation ready to unleash a sound like never the earth has never heard before. Yes. Something God put in you. I want to read the Gospel of John. We'd almost finished it. John 12. And I still not got to the part what God has taught me about Palm Sunday. I always looked at it as kind of a melancholy thing. Like all those people. And Jesus had to look at him in the eye and think, "I'm getting ready to disappoint you." But the Holy Spirit taught me some things. John 12 and 14. "Then Jesus found a young donkey and rode in to fulfill what was prophesied. People of Zion, have no fear. Look at your king coming to you riding on a young donkey." Now Jesus' disciples didn't fully understand the importance of what was taking place. But after he was raised and exalted to glory, they understood how Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies and the scriptures that were written about him. Now listen to this next part. Listen to these next couple verses. All the eyewitnesses to the miracle Jesus performed when he called out Lazarus to the tomb and raised him from the dead kept spreading the news to everyone. The news of this miracle of resurrection caused the crowds to swell as great numbers of people welcomed him into the city with joy. Listen to this. But the Pharisees were disturbed by this. And they said to each other, we won't be able to stop this. The whole world is going to run after him. Enemies of Jesus stood at the side and said, what are we going to do now? We can't stop this. We can't contain this. We can do nothing with this. The bottle has been popped. And the whole world is going to follow.
That's right.
Jesus never said anything good that I remember about the Pharisees. But I'll say something good right there was the truest statement I ever heard a Pharisee make.
Yeah.
Once the sound is unleashed, nobody's going to stop it. The religion won't stop it. The devil won't stop it. The judgmental won't stop it. The better than people won't stop it. There's something woke up in some people in here. And there's a sound being released. There's a sound like I've never heard. And I'm here to tell you, the devil will never stop it. Discouragement won't stop it. Fear won't stop it. Anxiety won't stop it. Drugs won't stop it. Gossip won't stop it. Jealousy won't stop it. Sound, they can measure it, has waves.
Yes.
There's a flow coming through.
Yes.
It's been going on in the schools. It's been going on in the... I'm crazy impressed with what's happening on Monday night. And I'm not a social media man. I mean, I played with it a few years ago. I played with it. But I never saw anything good with it. And I'm not judging you. Please don't take that wrong. You don't like a lot of what I do. That's fine. You don't think a bit of thing good about picking up a heavyweight over and over sitting down. You probably think it looks like the dumbest thing you've ever seen. I'm not judging you. But when I see that they're putting some of these recovery stories on this whatever it is.
TikTok.
Okay, whatever. I'm not giving it that much. Listen. And I see that there's 50-some thousand people who have watched testimonies in there. And I see there's 6,000 people in growing every day liking some of those things. I don't even know much about that stuff. But I know if 60,000 people have heard James' testimony, then you are a preacher, my friend. You are an evangelist.
I don't believe you should preach with a hat on and a certain shirt on. You keep preaching the same eight people you preached to for the last 2 years. My brother's preaching the word. My brother's preaching the word. My brother's preaching the word.
Great, good guy next to you. You bring joy. You're
by Gary, the ambassador to Julie. There's different types of shouting. There's shallow voices, top of your lungs. But there's something about when you get, you get down that low part of your lungs. Can I scare you something? I'm sorry. But when something comes to the lower part of your lungs, it's the most strongest sound you can muster.
It's called the ruah.
It's the ruah. But what if we looked at it in culture? The most beat down, kicked to the ground people. When the shout gets down there and comes from there, it brings out everything with it. It brings out everything with it. See, you can live a lot of function up here and have a lot of good down in here. And y'all lung people have lung impairment. You can live a lot up here with shallow breath and have a lot of junk down in here. But when it comes from down here out, when the people who have been pulled down and beat down release their sound, everything comes out with it. Everything. It changes the environment. And Jesus knew when that sound got lit up, he was not coming back out of Jerusalem. That he had done what he came to do.
It's all out now.
To release the sound. Love the people. Die for some sins. Go to the grave and defeat it. Arise from the grave and make it all make sense for some people still scratching their heads. What is happening for some of you, and I believe it's spreading with all my heart, it won't go back in the bottle. Listen, it won't go back in the bottle. The devil's going to try to tell you, oh, it's spilled, it's spilled. Scoop it up with something, put some, scoop it, put some back in there. It won't go back. You can't go back. You can't go back. You'll never be happy back there. You'll never be happy back there. There's nothing but misery back there. There's nothing but death back there. Because once the sound is released, it changes everything. Nothing can stop it. It's too late to go back. Jesus is a movement. This is a movement. You won't go back. Jesus had nothing before him at this point rather left to do except to win. Get hold of that. He had to be whipped, flogged, crucified. But for Jesus, as hard as that was on him, that was winning. The moment the sound was released, Jesus was able to say, it's time to win. It's time to win. Now I can do this. Now I can defeat. Now I can die for the sins. Now I can defeat death, hell, and the grave. Because there's something released now. That'll last when I go back to the Father. Something they can't stop. And something that'll spread to all corners. I know that I said, we talked about how fickle the crowd was. But I'm going to give you a different story. I don't believe the crowd failed. I believe they made a mistake. Let me tell you why. Same thing, Mike Peter was a microcosm of the crowd. Jesus released a sound that day with hope. That those people were never again going to be satisfied to lay and get beat down again. Now here's the problem. They didn't have the insight. And when they saw Jesus on a cross, it didn't make sense to them. But the sound was still being released. Then what happened on the other side of the letdown? The crowd let down Jesus? Yeah.
So did every disciple.
Yes.
So did Peter, Petra, the rock. But there was something happened called Pentecost when Peter came down from that room and preached the gospel. And some people in that crowd started making sense. And they hadn't lost their sound.
That's what the word said.
They hadn't lost their sound. They made sense of it. So the sound was released on Palm Sunday. And they couldn't comprehend the cross. And honestly, most of us can't at times comprehend the cross. But as it started to be revealed to them through the thing we call preaching, Bible comes preaching. Then all of a sudden, that voice they had got to be directed towards a purpose. So after the voice was unleashed, listen to me, this is where we finish. Because you're not perfect and I'm not perfect. And I made so many mistakes. And oh, he did this. I probably did. So did you. Try not to anymore. Here's the point. Don't let the devil tell you your voice is no good because you make a mistake. I had somebody criticize me and say, he preaches about mistakes. He don't call sin a sin. A mistake is a sin. That means you sin. That means you consciously and let God down and do something wrong called a sin. I'll make that clear. That's a sin. Mistake's just another word. You can use what word you want. The Bible says it's a sin to do, to know what to do and do it not. I'm talking about sin. So all you suckers out there who say I don't preach sin, sin will separate you from God. Sin will send you to hell. And this is repenting and covered by the blood of Jesus. That once you're saved, you shall never sin again. Show me that in the Bible or show me one person and I'll believe that. I don't believe that. Here's the point. The devil will try to use the fact that if you make a mistake after you release your voice, that you've lost your voice.
Yes.
Like Carol Brady at Christmas time. No. What has been popped out of the bottle cannot go back in the bottle. The sound is released.
Right.
You just got to get it refocused.
Right.
You just got to get it refocused. Because God wants to use your sound to change the world.
Yes.
So those people, the fickle crowd, I don't think it's that sad. It's sort of sad, like Peter was saying. But I think something got started that day that ended up changing the world. And I think the Bible talks about a ladder moving the Spirit. And I'm not one of these guys that goes to the Bible and says, this is this day, this means this day, this means that day. If I can't read it, I ain't going to say it. I might have some feelings, but I ain't going to say that I don't know nothing. I can't tell you, Lord, nobody knows when Jesus is coming back except the Father. I mean, I can look up codes 28 ways. If Jesus can't look it up, I can't look it up. But there's a move on this planet right now. We saw a move with the Jesus movement, and then we saw this charismatic movement. But I really think it's been kind of low key, and I think what we're seeing is the start of something, a sound like this planet's never heard, because I believe it's coming from lower in the lungs.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
I believe it's coming from lower in the lungs.
Yes!
And I believe it's that sound that's going to confound the wise. And it's that sound that religious won't be able to take. And it's that sound that Satan can no longer take. And it's that sound.
Yes.
And I believe that you're unleashing something that's powerful that will change this planet and your community. I believe those of you that are out here doing your best. And you start off with a pile of bones, as Pastor Malou said,
Now you're a skeleton. Some of you got some flesh on you. Some of you got some muscle on you. Some of you look pretty good. Some of you are still rattling bones, but you're better off than you were. And he said, hey, he said, don't you, why are you making fun of skeletons? Did you know what a pile of bones he was before that?
That's right.
For him to have a skeleton be dancing around, he's doing pretty good. Right. And more is coming. And more is coming. Yeah. And the flesh is coming. Yeah. And the muscle is coming.
Yeah.
So Palm Sunday, the sound was released. In this room, my prayer is we've seen this building. We saw the youth movement that was going on. We saw these college kids. But I believe so much more. I believe there's levels. There's people on the streets. I think we're seeing people that have been let pour down and make it feel nothing. Broken places. And isn't that where it really gets good?
Yes.
So you're something. You're special. And you're a sound. And God put that sound in you. And I want to encourage you, if you're in this room, and the devil don't want you to say your sound because he's scared of it. And he's trying to talk you out of using your voice. I want to make this clear. Everybody in this room has something inside them that Jesus put that needs to be released. Every single person in this room. None, zero, excluded. And I believe you're going to let it go. You're going to let it out. And I think things will change. I think things are changing. Could you bow your head with me? Thank you for being patient. So I don't look at Palm Sunday as a tragedy as much anymore as I do a celebration that some people finally got lit on fire and caused confusion for a little bit, like it did the disciples. But suddenly when Pentecost came and Peter started preaching to them, and they got a hold of it. But today there's something happening in these streets. There's something happening in these schools and these shelters and prisons and jobs and Walmarts and people are ready to let go of the sound of praise for Jesus. Jesus wants to change your world. And I think, I just sense, and I try not to do a lot of showy weird stuff, but I sense there's people in this room that have struggled with identity, meaning you don't feel good enough. You don't feel good enough. You don't feel worthy to have a sound. And you feel that's something for preachers and singers and all these holier-than-thou people. I really feel that in my spirit right now, that God is saying there's people in this room that is holding you back. I want every head bowed. If that's you right now, and honor this moment. No movement right now. Only movement is the praise team's getting ready, but they got their eyes closed. Nobody is. This is a holy moment. If you know when the Holy Spirit right now is identifying, there's people in this room that the devil is trying to take away your sound, telling you you're not good enough. And you know that resonates in your spirit, and you feel that right now, that's a word from the Spirit. You that resonates with you. If nobody looking, would you just raise your hand? You're not big enough for the task. Joe said that earlier. You're not worthy enough for the task. You've messed up too much. Maybe you feel like a failure. Maybe some people told you that your whole life. Or somebody they did way back and maybe it just stuck. God wants to tell you something today. You are worthy. He loves you. And He cares about you. And your sound matters, and there's people that when they hear your sound, there's people that got blessed with that little testimony, all those little testimonies you guys are putting out on that thing. There's people been blessed. I believe you've not even seen what's been going on. I believe there's been salvations. I believe there's been rededications. I believe there's been people delivered. I believe there's been people that took needles out of arms. I believe there's been people that said, maybe I will go try this church. Maybe they live halfway across the world. I believe there's been people that have said, maybe I will try this. Maybe I won't be in my life today. Maybe this Jesus thing is real. Maybe if they can do it, I can do it. You have a voice, and the devil's scared down of it. He's not going to stop you.
And he's not going to. Somebody need to hear that word right now. He will not stop you. He will not stop you. He will not stop you. He will not stop. What God has put in motion, the devil will not stop. Now, is anybody in this room? Let's keep the music a little bit low right now. We might crank it a minute. That you're not following actively Jesus right now. You're not sure where you stand. You're not sure if you know Jesus. You're not sure. You're not sure to sure to sure that if Jesus came back right now or if you had an accident today and passed away. You're not absolutely 100% sure where you would spend eternity. I would be crazy not to give you the opportunity to lift your hand right now and say, please pray for me. Is there anybody that would say that right now? I see your hand. I'm not sure. I see your hands. I'm not sure. I see your hands. Anybody else? Hands all over this room. That's an awesome thing because that's the start of something that God can use. Now I'm going to tell you something, okay? I'm going to count to three. And if you just said I wasn't sure, I want you to come up here and I want to pray. Because here's why. Here's why. I don't want you to leave this room. I'm not trying to be macabre. I'm not trying to go old school 80s. I'm not trying to scare you to an altar. But I've seen it happen. I remember it happened. I don't want you leaving this room having a doubt, because if you come to this altar and you give it to Jesus, you can leave this place without a doubt. I don't want you to have a doubt, okay? That's all. I care about you too much. So put your hands back up. Those of you that raise your hand, anybody else who wants to raise their hands all over, put them up. Put them up. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. He's scared of you. He's scared of you. He's still trying to put me down. I'm scared. I'm scared. Don't you win. Let him win. Put your hand up. If you had it up, put it up high. Now you just come on. You just stand up. Come on, stand up. You got your hand up. Stand up. Stand up. Come forward. 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 I need some. Now hold up. I need some people praying for some people in the altar. But still keep it kind of orderly right now, okay? We're going to get crazy in a minute. I just preached about going wild, going crazy, and now we're telling everybody. I want you to find somebody and pray for them. And if you don't know them, if you don't know them, then find, please, if you don't know them, I would like you to engage them. Instead of just getting them, put their hand on the back, and anything, if you know them, but I want you to talk to them. Get some into somebody's space and say, how can I pray for you today? You said you wanted to know Jesus, and you said you wanted to be sure you know Jesus. Can I pray? Because sometimes the devil, sometimes you're already saved, the devil just wants to try to talk you out of these assurance thing. But there's some people I've not seen at the altar before, so would you please just talk to them, engage them. Now, while they're doing that, some of you lift your hands and said, the devil have been telling you nothing or less than. Keep your hands bowed back there. Because y'all ain't on the clock. Yeah. Those of you that said that the devil's been trying to mess with your security and tell you you're not good enough or not worthy enough to release your voice, and you don't want to miss this. You don't want to miss this. You say, you know what? I don't have to be the head. I don't have to be a big wig, but I want to be a part of this movement. I don't mean this church. I mean this move of God on this globe. If that's you and you say, I want to be a part, I want to release my sound, would you release your hand? You say, the devil's been trying to talk me out of it. Anybody? Heads bowed. Anybody else? More of you had your hands up earlier. You've talked yourself out of it, I guess. If you want to come up, you got your hand up, or you don't want to have your hand up, come on up. I just want to pray for you as well. Come on up if you want to come up. We're going to pray that for that insecurity, that God will heal that and restore that. Let's pray with these folks for a minute. The altar's open. But don't leave yet unless you have to go, because we're going to praise out of here. We're going to get the palm leaves out, and we're going to rock out in just a minute, okay? Thank you. Thank you. Assurance. The devil tries to rob that from people the minute they come to an altar and tell them you're not saved. I want to tell you something. If you gave your life to Jesus and you're a follower of Him, you are saved. And when the devil tells you you're not, you tell him to shut up. Now you come a million times, you keep coming, it makes you closer. I love it. But what I'm just here to tell you, don't beat yourself up. Don't beat yourself up. If you have something you ain't got, you got to get right, well, you get it right. That's a different story. But I'm saying, don't let the devil tell you you didn't get it at this altar today. We have, somebody's ringing the bell, we had salvations this morning in the house. New salvations. Rededications and get things right. God's always about getting us right. Harold's going to give this amazing word. And then I want you to get your praise on. Maybe we leave here, we can leave praising, okay? Instead of leaving praying, we'll leave praising.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor. You really did a great job. You really inspired me. This poem I wrote was a poem I wrote in 1994. I was in the mental hospital. They was doing evaluation on me, and the world system got tired of me. So they convicted me and committed me to a non-continuous lymph stay at Richmond State Hospital in October 1994. But this poem has stuck in my mind. this poem gave me life. This poem is what the poem Jesus used to show me there is hope at the end of this dark tunnel. Amen? It's called Past Life. In my mind, life is forever. Time never passes, stands still. We live in a world that's full of fear, so cold and so unreal. Past memories of the things yet to come. Too much fear, nowhere to run. So I fight with my mind, but I never could win. Always losing against the past life within. When I was in Richmond State Hospital, I stayed lived 72 days. The doctor released me because of Jesus. He gave me hope. He gave me equipment. He gave me the weapon for the warfare, because this poem is talking about fighting a spiritual battle with worldly equipment. I needed Jesus. Amen. Amen.
We're gonna go as we do our crazy praise.